Good afternoon. This afternoon's scripture will be coming from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 54 to 58. Again, that is 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 54 to 58. And the Bible's in the pews in front of you. It will be found on page 1110. And it reads, "So when this corruptible has been incorrupted, and this mortal has put on immorality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord."
Good afternoon. Such a huge part of me wants to say good evening, but afternoon. Got it right this time. Glad you're here. Thankful for your presence. It's been a delight to be together today. We are glad that you have been here with us. This morning we talked about God's word being settled. And we move now to asking the question, are you settled? As you read through the New Testament, it is exceedingly clear that it is God's expectation that his people be rooted and settled and grounded and unshaken or moved away from their faith. You can kind of see it in the text there on the screen. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the brethren in Corinthians, or in Corinth, as he nears the end, he says, "Therefore." Now, you have to go back and read the entire chapter to appreciate his conclusion, but what he has been discussing urgently is the resurrection of the Lord. In fact, if you start in verse number 1, he says, "Brethren, I declare unto you," here it is. Here's what the resurrection is about. Here's the gospel. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, the resurrection of Christ is that which our belief and hope and everything rests upon. And as the Apostle Paul begins to discuss it, he begins to talk about the implications. If there's no resurrection, then this and this and this and some of those things. You know, your faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. Then Christ himself is not raised. And we are, of all men, most pitiable. And if there is no resurrection, if the dead rise not, then let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Effectively, Paul is saying, listen, it's all about the resurrection. And if you're going to be moved away from that, then friends, listen, all of these other things are true. And so he concludes by saying, therefore. If you have your Bibles in 1 Corinthians 15, notice verse number 12. That's really, again, part of what we want to discuss this afternoon. Verse number 12, Paul says, "Now if Christ be preached that he has been raised from the dead," I want you to think about this next phrase. "How do some among you say that there is no resurrection?" The first thing you need to know is these are not outsiders saying this. These are not people out in the world. I'm not sure, but I hope it's the case that as you sit here this afternoon, you appreciate that there are those who will seek to turn you away from your faith. That there are those within the body that will teach things contrary to God, that if you believe them, you will leave the Lord by believing what they teach. If there were no other reason for you to know God's word, friends, this would be sufficient. Now, on the one hand, the Apostle Paul is saying, there is a resurrection. We preach it. You saw him. Christ was raised from the dead. He goes on about the fact that there is one. But he says now, there's some among you that's saying there isn't. Who's in the middle? See, that's where you are. There are faithful, sound preachers. There are those who would teach error. And then the people in the middle are the ones having to make a decision. What I'd like to show you this afternoon is how much impact that dynamic was having on God's people, and how many varied reactions it was causing among God's people. And as you see, as we walk through this, we'll look at a lot of different passages in a lot of different epistles, in a lot of different places, written to a lot of different people. And this dynamic was having a profound impact on God's people. Now, we said that God is settled. Jesus wants you to be settled. He wants you to be, as Paul says, steadfast, immovable. One of the challenges, I don't mind telling you, one of the challenges as a gospel preacher is to try to reconvince people who were once convinced. To try to go back to God's people and tell them, retell them that which they once professed belief in. That which they once held dear. That which they once were convicted about themselves. And now something has happened, someone has happened, and now I have the sad task to sit down and try to coax them back to belief. The Bible does not want that for any of God's children. Thus the exhortation, be steadfast, be immovable. We read Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 28, where Jesus talks about the wise man and the foolish man. And what is the distinction? The one who hears my word and keeps them builds his house upon the rock. What you should read is Luke's account of that. That would be Luke 6, 46 through 49, where Luke says of that same event that that individual dug deep in the earth and set his house upon the rock. He dug deep, laid his foundation. The person then, immovable, steadfast. That this is God's intention. There are things associated to make it come to pass. Things associated with and designed to settle us. One of them would be God's word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, how is it that a person could be drifted away, pulled away, turned away? How is it? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Unfortunately, and sometimes we put that squarely and exclusively on salvation. And then further down the line, people start teaching things the Bible does not teach. God's children haven't continued in his word. And thus now, new things are coming in and strange sounds are being made. And people are saying new things and different things. And God's children often don't know. I beg you, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you. Do not let the sum total of your Bible knowledge be that which an individual gives you standing behind this pulpit or any pulpit. Do not, young people, do not put your souls in the hand of a man. Don't do that. Do not allow the preacher's knowledge to be the sum total of your knowledge. Preachers are a lot of things, and many of them good. They are not, however, they are not flawless. They are not perfect. They make mistakes, sometimes intentionally so. They go off. They teach new things, different things, contrary to God. And if you don't know any better, if you don't know God's word, you will go with them. Jesus said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, sadly, both fall into the ditch. God's word is designed to settle us, but then so is faith. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking or wanting in nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and he shall give it to him. James says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. As you can see, being wavering and double-minded is not things that God would want for us. We are intended to grow as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Reading these passages and saying these words, I hope they don't simply fall on your ears as that which is just good preacher talk. No, sir, no, ma'am. The Bible is likened unto food. It's likened unto water. It's likened unto meat. Your soul needs to eat. We have a daily Bible reading. We're encouraging. Read through the New Testament. That's not formality. That is not simply to say that we did it. That is to sustain and give your soul nutrition every single day. You give your physical man food, do you not? I don't know many people that miss many meals. In fact, we live in such a great country, you don't even have to miss hours. You can eat around the clock if you want to. And whoever designed living rooms next to kitchens, that's just bad design. I don't mind telling you. Shouldn't be able to get to the refrigerator that easily. Your spiritual man needs to eat, feed your soul, God's word. Grow in grace and in knowledge in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Our hope, what is it that we hope for? Paul talks about the brethren in Thessalonians, their hope, and he says they have given diligence in that they're spreading and sharing the gospel. Coincidentally, we're getting to the sermon proper. We're getting there. This is all just introductory quick thoughts. One of the challenges that will keep us from being fixed and settled is if we get stagnant, if we stop laboring, if we get to the point where we are simply saved and do nothing else, then we are going to be challenged to stay there. If you aren't careful, something new will come along and pull you away. The brethren in Thessalonica, read, if you get a chance, read 1 Thessalonians and listen to what Paul says. He talks about their hope, but he says, from you, your faith sounded out the gospel. Why were they so secure? Because they were laboring in the spread of the gospel. One of the things that keeps you secure is sharing the good news with others. You're convicted and convinced, and so you share it. Stop sharing it sadly and see what happens. Stagnation and staleness and a lack of diligence give rise over time to some very bad things. Well, let's talk about it then. Here are some of those things I mentioned. Number one, again, these aren't in any particular order. This is just what happens. Sometimes that people are not settled and fixed for this reason. This is what was said of those individuals on Mars Hill when Paul went up to preach. In fact, they referred to Paul's preaching and they said, he seems to be a setter forth of some strange gods and strange doctrines. Now, that's interesting because that's never the way you would refer to the gospel. You would never refer to the gospel as, yeah, some strange doctrine. We have the truth over here, but that's some strange. No, that's what they said about Paul. He seems to be a setter forth of strange doctrines. Paul said of them, the Athenians, Luke records, they all spend their time doing nothing but telling or hearing some new thing. And what is it that sometimes pull God's people away? What is it that causes them to drift and no longer to be secure? Some people just love to hear new things. I don't want to hear the same old gospel. I want to hear something new. People say things. I want some of that right now gospel. I wanted the updated version. Listen, this is as updated as it gets. This is as good as it gets. In fact, anybody telling you something different from this, you're getting the wrong information. And you desperately need to get back to this. Puts one in the mind of Jeremiah when he stood before God's people and he said, stand in the way and see. Ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way? And they said, we will not walk therein. It's happening to people today. You go to places, preach and teach, and people don't want to hear the old gospel anymore. That sermon preached this morning, enjoyed by many, encouraged, I appreciate it, edified, built up. So many came back positively saying, sermon Greg preached 2-3 weeks ago, so many encouraged, built him up, strengthened him. Don came and preached, so many encouraged. Listen, that ain't being done everywhere. That preaching ain't being enjoyed everywhere. No sir, no ma'am. Some people want something new. And so they began to drift and turn away and lose their way. Secondly, truth of the matter is some people are just ignorant. You should know the word ignorant on the one hand is not an insult. Everybody's ignorant of something. Does anybody here know everything that can be known? Then whatever it is you don't know, that would make us ignorant of that, would it not? That ain't the problem. Look at Romans chapter 10 though, and let's read some of these passages together. You don't need to hear me, you need to hear God. Let's read the Bible together. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, brethren, my heart's desire for Israel, my prayer to God for them is their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal to God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Here are individuals who don't know about God's righteousness. They're ignorant of that. And so what they've done is they've gone out to establish their own. And how many people, Christians now, are saying things like, you can't tell me. I know what I feel. I know what I think. And you can't. So you're just going to go and establish your own righteousness. You're not going to then submit to the righteousness of God. Paul says, I wish Israel, I pray that they could be saved. But as long as they do that, they cannot find God. They can't do it on their terms. Friends, you will drift away, leave the Lord, be unsettled if that is what you try to do. But then next, some are carnal. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm saying this afternoon, and I suppose it'd be good sometimes. If brethren knew why sermons were preached one way or the other. I'm saying this because, brethren, God is settled, and God wants you settled. And the world and brethren, some of which are trying to unsettle you. And if you are not secure, steadfast, and immovable, you will then be pulled away from the hope of your salvation. And I don't know again which is more sad, somebody who's never known the way of truth, or as Peter describes it, those who knew the way of truth and turned back and turned away from it. Some folks are carnal, and as a result of that, they can be moved. Chapter 3 and verse number 1, Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh, to infants in Christ. You should kind of think about those two things that the Apostle Paul is writing, and so that you get them in their context. Jonathan is doing a series in Romans chapter 9. He's been doing a whole series through the book of Romans. It's worth a listen. But he's been talking about the flesh and the spirit. Romans 6, 7, 8, 9. And he's been trying to explain this idea of flesh and spirit. And people do a lot of different things with it. So often in the New Testament, it's your spirit in harmony with the spirit. That is, your spirits by your spiritual outlook, your spiritual perception, your processing of God's word spiritually, as opposed to taking spiritual things and making them fleshly or carnal, or taking them and looking. Now, the person doing that is also a Christian. Typically, when people hear spirit and flesh, they're saved, unsaved. No. Paul opens the chapter by saying, brethren, I couldn't talk to you about spiritual things because you are fleshly. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not saved and lost. That is saved people taking spiritual things and treating and viewing them, living them in a fleshly, carnal fashion. That could happen to God's people. And friends, when it does, notice what follows. Paul says, I gave you milk to drink and not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and are not walking like mere men? Carnality, fleshliness, this way of viewing God and treating spiritual things through a fleshly prism, trying to, as the Jews would have done, trying to find justification on their own merits as opposed to relying and trust and faith in God. Well, that will certainly make one unstable. It will have one drifting and ultimately moving away from the hope of their salvation. But then there's this. Some will be deceived. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Notice what the Apostle Paul said to the brethren there. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 1, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? You knew him. You heard the message. He was proclaimed publicly, crucified before you. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in or by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, so then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and work miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? This is not the only time he say that to these brethren. Back in chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, he says that there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He says in chapter 5, in the first verse down to verse number 4, that he urges them that they were to stand. Christ has set us free. And so he says, keep standing. Do not move. Don't be subject to slavery again. Christ is becoming no effect unto you. And to put that all in his context, he is talking about, again, those trying to be justified by the law. He says, if you do that, Christ is becoming no effect unto you. You are fallen from grace. 1 Corinthians 15 said, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding. And friends, that's all connected. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding. There's that idea of not being stagnant, not being limited, not being inactive. To do so, individuals did come along and move some away from the hope of their faith. Next, some will be moved away. The Bible says as much. Look at Colossians chapter 1. The warning here is, be not moved away. The implication being, some have been. In fact, we don't have the passage on a slide, but Paul says very plainly concerning Hymenaeus and Philetus that they had made shipwreck of some people's faith. Colossians 1:21. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, that's the way you were, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Verse 23 says, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, which Paul have made a minister. There's that dual kind of exhortation again. You've come out, you've obeyed, and now be established, be steadfast, be fixed. Well, what do you mean, Eric? And how do you know people are not this? You know, we preached this morning that morality is established and fixed and settled in heaven. Not for every Christian. Some Christians have changed their mind on the subject. Some Christians used to be established. They used to be fixed, but then the world said this, and pretty soon, Christians now, I know because I've talked to them. They've changed their position on some of these things. They are no longer fixed. They have been moved away. You know, doctrinally, we preach instrumental music is sinful. No, we don't preach that for our health. That's what the Bible teaches. Very clear. Sing. That's all it says. And then people move now. They used to be firmly, but not anymore. Slowly but surely slid away from the hope. That. Let me ask you this. Will it be in our time that somebody will say, well, baptism is no longer for the remission of sin? Will it be in our time, because it's already in our time, that people are saying women can preach? Who are you to say otherwise? That's in our time. You know, when I was a young preacher, and maybe you had the same thoughts, not as a preacher, just as a younger person, you used to hear those preachers foreboding and talking about the future, and this is going to come. And what you do when you hear that is, you project. Boy, one of these days, that stuff's going to make it to the church. One of these days, we're going to have to deal with it. Here's the thing you should know. That day's today. This is one of those days. And you and I are still here. Sometimes you're reading through the Old Testament, somebody will be told judgment is coming, and then they'll be told this. It won't happen in your time. It'll happen after you've been gathered to your fathers. You ever read that in the Old Testament? And the person will say sometimes, well, as long as it's not in my time, you know, I'll be okay as long as it's not. Yeah, sometimes I used to believe, well, it won't be in my time. No, it's right now. You can talk to Christians. They tell you that women can preach and should preach. Talk to Christians. Tell you homosexuality needs to be left alone. Y'all need to stop talking about it. You can talk to Christians. Say instrumental music is not sinful. And we ought to be able to do it, and we ought to have different worship styles and different worship patterns, and who are y'all? That's happening right now. Let me tell you what the residual effect of that is. Some of God's people who were once steadfast and immovable have now been moved away from the hope of their faith. Brethren, what I'm urging you to do is, you make sure that's not you. You make sure you're not moved away. Be steadfast, immovable. Some will not endure sound doctrine. I appreciate when this congregation prays for her elders. I appreciate that. And you might think that I do that as a fellow elder. On the one hand, that would be true. On the other hand, I do that as a gospel preacher. I am thankful that the men with whom I serve says what the verse says. Preach the word. I'm thankful we can be instance in season and out of season. That we can reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. It is here. They will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and be drawn away from the truth. Some people are asleep during these matters. I don't mean sleep now. Don't look at your neighbor. That's not what I mean. Somebody turned around and said, who? Wasn't me. I'm here for it. That's not what I mean. Although it could be true. Point is, some people are asleep when these things are happening. And they won't wake up until their children are adults. Now their children has to go find a congregation somewhere to worship. Their children has to now know the truth and live it for themselves. And when those parents wake up, they start scrambling to say, I need to make sure that my child, what they don't know is their children have had a steady diet of error for the last 15 to 20 years of their lives. And now they are not fixed. They are not settled. They are not grounded. They are not rooted. And now the parent has awakened from their slumber and they desperately want everybody else to get some cement and a hole and pour it in there and fix their children. Friends, that time is now. You got babies, you teach them God's word. When? Now. Every day. You make sure they know. You're in a congregation where there are elders and there's error. Talk to the elders. Plead with the preacher or leave the congregation. But don't stay and let your children imbibe a steady diet of error for the preponderance of their life and then hope one day they'll be fixed in the faith. Amen, plant. I can't read the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy and not be deathly afraid. As a gospel preacher, Paul's going to tell Timothy, you preach the word. I'm charging you. As a gospel preacher, Paul's going to tell Timothy, you make full proof of your ministry. Friends, here's what's going to happen. When I lay it down, I'm going to be able to tell the Lord, I told them. I preached it. In season and out of season. Times coming, they won't endure sound doctrine. Some folks, I'm telling you, as sure as we stand here, it is so painful to talk to God's children who once knew and have turned away, and you can't get them back. Don't let that be you. They will not endure. Some of them not going to endure sound doctrine. Some are going to be turned away from the truth. Peter describes those that will actually twist the scriptures. It's one of the saddest things in the world. It really is. I pray you don't have to experience it. It's so sad though when you sit down with people who know as much Bible as you do and they twist the scripture. Paul says that Peter, talking about Paul's writing, he says some of them are hard to be understood. And he's not saying what Paul writes is hard to understand. What he's saying is it's hard to be understood by those who are unstable and twist the scripture. And there are people who know God's word, twist God's word in such a way, and then there's people who believe the twisting to their own destruction. Peter said they'll make merchandise of you. Read the book of 2 Peter 2. Read 2 Peter 2 and listen to what Peter said. Read Jude and listen to what Jude is saying and the exhortation and how strong and impassioned they are about trying to save some of God's people. Because false teachers are in there twisting and perverting the gospel and the scriptures into people's own destruction. Friends, you need to know your Bible. You need to have your faith fixed and be steadfast and immovable. And when you are steadfast and you cannot be moved, Paul says, always abound. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. Perish the thought that you would have begun a walk with Jesus and turn back to the world only to lose your soul eternally. God is settled. I suppose the question that needs to be asked is, are you settled? Not a Christian, become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is. I told somebody this afternoon, wish I had said it this morning, the phrase is fixed or settled in heaven. It put me in the mind of, that makes it out of reach of man. See, it's not settled on earth. It's settled in heaven. Therefore, there's nothing we can do to alter it or change it. Having been settled, you need to be settled. You don't need to be moved away from the hope of Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess his name. Be immersed in water. Let Jesus save you. If you are a Christian, do what Paul also said to the brethren in Corinth. Examine yourself. See whether or not you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not that Christ is in you lest you be disqualified. We can help you in any way. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.